Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday morning, December 3rd, 2019. Good to be with you. Hope your Advent is going beautifully and you're taking time to contemplate and reflect and anticipate the coming of our Lord, which is what this beautiful period before Christmas is for. And maybe you're having some difficulties right now doing that because you're overwhelmed by what's happening, maybe things in the news, maybe things in your own life, whatever the case may be. The important thing is to not give in to discouragement. We're going to talk about that on our show this morning with Father Timothy Gallagher, who's written a beautiful book, and I actually have about three quarters of the way through it. And it came at a time I received it, I think I got it at the end of October, when we were hearing a lot of discouraging news coming out of Rome and some very bizarre things happening and wondering what in the world, and thinking, okay, yeah, John the 23rd, who said, Lord, I'm tired, it's your church, I'm going to bed. And sometimes you just have to say that. Sometimes you just have to let go and let God and turn it over to Him. And not give in to discouragement, because that's not of God. Now, it's one thing. We all get upset about things. We're emotional. We're human. We get it. And we're going to have struggles, right? We know that. We're human beings. We live in an imperfect world, a fallen world. But we can't give in to discouragement as if there is no hope. There is always hope because we have Jesus Christ. And so Father gives us some very, very good practical tips. And he's just terrific. He's a frequent speaker on EWTN. And many of his talks have been recorded and heard the world over. We'll give you a little bit more detail about his bio when he joins us after the break. But I would highly recommend this book as a great Christmas gift. You can get it through the EWTN Religious Catalog. Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, The Wisdom and Spiritual Power of Venerable Bruno Lantieri. And so Father will talk to us also about this particular priest and how he found out about him and the work that he was doing in this area in terms of encouragement and helping people through difficult times. So good discussion will be had, I'm sure, with you and Father Timothy Gallagher at about 15 minutes past the hour. And then Reason to Be Encouraged, the New York Times of all places, not exactly friendly or even balanced when it comes to covering the issue of abortion and what's really going on. A very revealing story. They published a story recently on the country's changing attitudes on abortion. And it's getting an awful lot of attention. The headline was how a divided left is losing the battle on abortion. Very interesting. And Catherine Glenn Foster is going to be joining us at 39 minutes past the hour to talk about this. Now, we know that the surveys show that America is mostly pro-life. And even those who are pro-choice want limits on abortion in terms of they're against late-term abortions far and wide. And a lot of people don't even know that abortion is legal through 9 months of pregnancy. And now we have some states who say that infanticide, if a baby survives an abortion, well, no big deal, you just let the baby die. A lot of people aren't even aware of that. So when the information gets out there and gets into people's hands, there is a wake-up call. And we're starting to see this now show up. And if the New York Times is writing about this, then we're making some big headway. So we'll talk about that with Catherine Glenn Foster, and we'll take your calls as well on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, asking for your prayers for Ave Maria Radio, WDEO specifically, our Detroit station, AM 990. We're having a local drive, a winter drive. And yesterday, this is so typical, something always happens during our membership drive, technology-wise. There's always a problem. Go figure. So yesterday, everything's going fine and dandy. And after I got off the air here, I did an hour of, you know, local pitching and talking about the importance of Catholic radio. Then all of a sudden, about, I think it was maybe right after that, about 1:30 Eastern time, all heck breaks loose and we're having problems with the internet. We're having problems with, just basic technology at the station. It's like I was talking to my station manager, Mike Jones, and he's like, it just went crazy. It went haywire. Coinkydink? I think not. Thanks be to God. Everything is okay. So keep us in your prayers and keep us, as Father Mitch and as Mother Angelica used to always say, between your gas and electric bills. If you know anybody in the Michigan area who's a listener of Ave Maria Radio, please send them to our website, AveMariaRadio.net, and tell them to be in Giving Tuesday to, if they so choose, give. Really important, because we work together with EWTN to provide great Catholic programming 24/7. Many of the programs you hear, such as this one, Catholic Connection, Crest in the Afternoon, The Doctor is In, are co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. So we work hand in hand, and we're proud to do that and partner with EWTN. But we all need your support. We need to support EWTN and our local affiliates so we can get all this great programming out to you every single day. All righty then, it's 5 minutes past the hour. It's a Tuesday morning, December 3rd. Lots of news to report. So let's do that right now. Let's see what's happening in and around our world. Well, Australia's Catholic bishops support nationally consistent reporting standards for the abuse of minors, but cannot support new national legal standards that would force priests to report real or suspected child abuse learned under the strict confidence of sacramental confessions. Attorneys General in Australia have agreed on reporting standards that would require priests to break the seal of the confessional or violate Australia's mandatory abuse reporting rules. John Klein tells us one of the most recognizable figures in the Catholic Church is being accused of committing child sexual abuse.
New Jersey law changed Sunday, extending the statute of limitations for sex abuse victims and allowing them to file civil suits until they either turn 55 years old or 7 years after they recognize damage from abuse. As a result, a male plaintiff from Hackensack is accusing former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick of sexually abusing him in his youth, according to NorthJersey.com. McCarrick was defrocked last February as a church tribunal determined he sexually assaulted a child around 50 years ago and an adult male victim in the 1980s.
Edgewood College over in Madison, Wisconsin, a Catholic school, has cut Planned Parenthood from a list of student resources after a petition there seeking the abortion provider's removal garnered over 15,000 signatures. A student action group announcing on November 19th it had verified the same webpage that once directed students to Planned Parenthood, saying it's now unavailable. The organization that started the petition describes itself as one that works to proudly affirm the positive values of tradition, family, and private property. On the petition, they said everyone knows what Planned Parenthood does. Not only is it the largest abortion provider in the nation, but it feeds the godless culture of death that keeps the abortion cycle running. Catholic bishops of England and Wales urging voters to consider issues of human rights and the dignity of human life as the country's general election is approaching. Britain's exit from the European Union is a central issue of the December 12th election, the UK's third since 2015. Scott Pringle tells us tens of thousands still without power on the East Coast, specifically northern New Jersey, thanks to yesterday's big snowstorm.
Well, the heavy wet snow stuck to trees and power lines, and that combined with a little wind caused all these outages in northwest Jersey, most in Morris, Warren, and Sussex counties. This guy, Paul in Sparta, was trapped for a bit in his garage apartment because of a fallen tree.
I had to get the door open, and I'm looking at him saying, oh my God, the little branches went all the way down, but they're not little.
Now, many school districts with delayed openings, some like Sparta and Vernon, are closed.
Winter weather, meanwhile, also causing major issues on Connecticut's highways. Here's Trooper Joe Sutarellis, who says state police responded to, get this, over 1,500 calls for assistance on Sunday and yesterday as well.
The roads are extremely slick, given the fact that there was some snowfall and rainfall, and the low temperatures, that's causing it to ice over.
Durella says many drivers have trouble controlling their vehicles in these conditions, and some have ended up on shoulders and medians on busy roads. He's recommending drivers slow down and exercise extreme caution. Americans who want to expand gun rights may not get the favorable ruling they were hoping for from the U.S. Supreme Court. Justices hearing their first Second Amendment case in a decade yesterday. Chris Pallone says the case centers on an old New York law that restricted where people with certain gun permits could bring their guns.
The city has since changed the law, apparently looking to avoid the high court's intervention and spurring Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to ask what's left of this case.
Chief Justice John Roberts asking New York's attorney if there would be any disadvantage to those suing if the court declared the case moot. Some rights, gun rights advocates were hoping the court would expand rights for citizens to carry guns outside their homes. The president on a three-day trip to the UK for a summit marking the 70th anniversary of the NATO alliance. This morning, he met with the NATO Secretary General talking about the increase in support for NATO from other countries the past 3 years.
I think the Secretary General will tell you that through some work and some negotiation, we've increased the budget of countries other than the USA because we're paying far more than anybody else and far more even as a percentage of GDP.
The president also set to attend a reception today at Buckingham Palace hosted by Queen Elizabeth. A San Diego man on the FBI's most wanted terrorist list is being hit with more terrorism charges. U.S. Attorney Robert Brewer detailing Jihad Sirhan Mostafa's terrorist profile.
Jihad Sirhan Mostafa is the highest ranking United States citizen fighting overseas with a terrorist organization. In this case, Al-Shabaab.
Brewer announcing new counts were added to an indictment that charges Mostafa with supporting the Al-Shabaab terrorist organization in Somalia. The initial charges leveled all the way back in 2009, but since then authorities believe his activity with the terror group has continued. There is a reward of up to $5 million for his arrest. And more information now being revealed about the events that led to the firing of Chicago's top cop. The mayor, Mayor Lightfoot, announcing yesterday she had terminated Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson for lying to her and the public about his conduct when he was found asleep in his vehicle in October.
It has become clear that Mr. Johnson engaged in a series of actions that are intolerable for any leader in a position of trust, particularly the head of the Chicago Police Department.
The Chicago Tribune reporting the city inspector general's office obtaining video footage showing Johnson drinking with a woman who was not his wife at a local cafe on the night of October 16th, just after midnight on the 17th. Officers then found him slumped over the steering wheel of his SUV near his Bridgeport home. He initially blamed the incident on his failure to take his blood pressure medication. The 31-year department veteran was set to retire at the end of the year before he was let go. And attorneys general from 24 states want to block the Purdue Pharmaceutical CEO's bonus because of his alleged role in the opioid epidemic. Craig Landau is set to be paid a bonus of $1.3 million on top of his already $2.5 million salary from the maker of OxyContin. And finally, in our news segment on a Tuesday morning, it's about 12 minutes past the hour on Tuesday, December 3rd, Phil Hewlett tells us hot on the heels of Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday comes Travel Tuesday.
Airlines and booking sites like Orbitz, Travelocity, and Cheap Tickets want to boost traffic at their websites today with promises of real deals. The Smart Traveler website and Sky Scanner say there definitely are deals today, and Tuesday is always the best day to book a flight. In fact, some of today's deals are the same ones you could get next week.
It is a Tuesday. Hope it's going well for you. December 3rd, 2019, we'll open up the phone lines, 877-573-7825. Do not give in to discouragement. Let your hearts not be troubled. Jesus is and always will be very large and very much in charge, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we all have our struggles, our ups and downs, but we cannot give in to that spirit of discouragement. We'll talk about that with a beautiful book from Father Timothy Gallagher, Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement. You can find it at our EWTN religious catalog. That's up next on Catholic Connection on a Tuesday morning. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for an affordable option for your health care? Do you feel compelled to support pro-life efforts in our country? Then now is the time for you to join CMF Curo. CMF Curo is the country's first healthcare sharing experience that engages church teachings by offering truly pro-life healthcare. CMF Curo members experience healthcare that's ethically consistent with church teachings and rooted in Catholic community. Learn more about CMF Curo and find Catholic healthcare options at mycatholichealthcare.com.
I turned from a recreational drug user to a drug addict. That took me to my knees. I lost a family, almost two families. I lost friends. Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it. I love it. My heart's there. I took communion after 18 years, and the rest of the Mass, I sat and cried. God restored my life. God restored my family. God restored my love.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
More about our author, wonderful speaker and priest, Father Timothy Gallagher, you can go to his website, fathertimothygallagher.org. And this book is a perfect timing, I'll tell you. Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, The Wisdom and Spiritual Power of Venerable Bruno Lantieri. And I was telling Father during the break that I received this book from our friends at EWTM Publishing at a time when getting a lot of questions from listeners and others about what in the world is going on, not only in the world, but in the church, and we see things and we hear things and we struggle and we throw up our hands and it gets frustrating. But we cannot allow discouragement to take over because that is not from God. Sometimes it's a combination of both, things that we see in the news, things that we see happening in the world, in the church, in our own life. Maybe there's something we can't forgive ourselves for. We know God's forgiven us, but we can't move past it. So I think this book is very timely and very important, and glad to have Father on the program again with us. Hey, Father, happy Advent.
Hi, Chisa. Great to be here.
All right, so talk about the book and why you felt it was so important to write this right now.
Well, it was, I'd say, at the heart of the message of Venerable Bruno Lantieri, who founded my community. So, of course, I have a longstanding relationship with him. But over the years, and especially as I wrote his biography several years back, and that was 5 years of intensive immersion in his life, I came to see that this is really, I think, one of the most valuable things that he offers us. In fact, we entitled that biography, Begin Again, you know, precisely this message of don't ever let discouragement simply get a hold of you and get caught in that quagmire. But the door is always open. You can always move forward with the Lord. So it seemed timely to present this message, and I had begun doing it. Really, the origin of this book was a presentation of this material as a 3-day retreat to a group of wonderful lay people, and the response just told me that this needs to be shared.
So what do you think in terms of people are facing with discouragement? Is it a combination of what I just mentioned, things happening in the world, and maybe something in our past of which we can't let go? What do you think?
I think the deepest, yes, these are all different forms of discouragement, but I think the deepest form of discouragement for most of us, not the only, but the deepest, it's what Peter puts into words to Jesus in Luke 5 in the boat. You know, after the catch of fish and the boat filled almost to sinking, mm-hmm. and as a fisherman, he knows now that the divine has come close to him in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And look what he says, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I'm not as good as I need to be here. I'm not what you, Lord, want of me. I can't be this close to you." It's that kind of discouragement about ourselves. Who of us feels that he or she is as holy as he or she is called to be or would want to be? Who of us feels that we live the gospel as fully as we're called to live it? Who of us does not carry a certain burden of regret for one thing and another as the years of our lives have gone by? So there is a vulnerable space in all of us for discouragement. If I may say this next thing, perhaps with greatest possible reverence, I think the reason why people find Venerable Bruno's message of such encouragement is because he knows that place deep in our hearts where we're afraid, and it's there in all of us. You know, Teresa, how when we meet each other on the street and, "How are you?" "Great. How are you?" "Great." Mm-hmm. And that's appropriate. Those are the social proprieties. But when we feel free in a setting where we feel free to say what's really in our heart, deep down in all of us, somewhere is a place in which we feel I'm not what I really should be. My prayer is not what it should be. I waste time. I'm more self-centered than I ought to be. I miss opportunities to do what's good, and so forth. Venerable Bruno knows that place that, like in Peter, in us is afraid. And he knows how to approach it with great love and reverence and to bring hope right there. And that's, I think that's the deepest source of our discouragement, and a message that knows how to say no. Mm-hmm. Just not, don't be discouraged. All you have to do is turn to God, who loves, is eager to grant forgiveness if you need it, and begin again. So that's not the only form of discouragement, certainly, but
right.
It's deep.
But begin again, I remember, and I believe you mentioned this in the book, is something that the great and my favorite Saint Teresa of Avila said. And didn't she tell that to her sisters after they came out of the confessional? Begin again. Begin again.
It's the same message. And there are other saints also who quote this. But there's one letter even, maybe in the book, in which a woman has been writing to him about her discouragement. And these are good people, but they're discouraged as they look at themselves. And she says, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me just to begin again. it's a good thing to keep in mind, no matter where we have been in life, no matter what we have done in our lives, there is never anything that can stop us right now from turning to God if we need it, asking his forgiveness. And Venerable Bruno insists on this over and over again. We give great joy to God when we ask for his forgiveness. And then beginning again. And he says, if you need to do it, even every day, even every hour of every day, do it. He says, and do it with boldness, not with hesitation. And he says further, there's something heroic about it. And that's a heroism of which we're all capable with God's grace.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think, though, too, and by the way, we're chatting with Father Timothy Gallagher on his latest book, Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, from the EWTN Publishing, and also you can find it on our catalog, the EWTN Religious Catalog, again, Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement by Father Timothy Gallagher. On some level, though, that's a form of humility, recognizing that we are so imperfect and that we are unworthy and that we have this God that loves us so much no matter where we've been, as long as we keep it at a level where the humility says, okay, that's why I need to keep going back to God. Not in the sense that I'm this horrible person and there's no hope for me, but the humility and the understanding of God's great grace.
Yes, one of the themes that runs throughout all of his spiritual guidance and repeatedly is there in the book is that there are two essential, I guess we'll call them virtues, that we need in the spiritual life, humility and confidence. And we need both, neither in isolation from the other. Humility as regards our own limitations and our own weakness. And that's not a heavy, abasing kind of humility, but it's like in Mary, where you see she thrills with joy at her low estate because it has drawn God's love and grace upon her, as she prays in the Magnificat. So it's Jesus himself who was humble of heart, humble and lowly of heart. So it's a serene, I would say, awareness of our own weakness and limitation in combination immediately with an unlimited confidence in the love, closeness, desire to help us of God, who is such a loving God toward us. Now, if we have both of those qualities together, we're going to move forward beautifully in the spiritual life.
Yeah, absolutely. Chatting with Father Timothy Gallagher, if you have a question or maybe you're struggling with discouragement right now, 877-573-7825. I'm about two-thirds through this book, and I just love it. Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement from our friends at EWTN Publishing. Again, 877-573-7825. And we also have it on the Ave Maria Radio online bookstore, which you can find through AveMariaRadio.net. Before we take a break, Father, and take some calls, I think I'm hearing it. I don't know if you're hearing it too, but so many people discouraged about what's happening, or their concerns about what's happening with the church, and that they're very discouraged. Some things that came out from the Amazon Synod, there's a lot of confusion. And I'm sensing a lot of anger as well as discouragement from people, almost to the point not where they're leaving the church, but giving up and thinking that this is it, it's the end. I mean, the church is doomed. Have you heard that type of a discouragement? Because I'm hearing a lot of it.
Yes, I've heard that, and it really saddens my heart when I hear that. I reverence it, I understand it, but it's very, very important not to get caught up in that, because there's a vulnerability there to, with the best will in the world, to a kind of discouragement which certainly if you look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit, as Paul lists them in Galatians 5, it's not among them, that kind of discouragement and heaviness of heart. Very important, I think, to go right back to the basics and to Jesus' promise to Peter, the first pope, and the promise it extends throughout all of the church's history, that the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. You remind me of a talk I heard years ago of by Monsignor John Tracy Ellis, since deceased, but at the time kind of the dean of historians of the American church, and packed auditorium, and an answer to a question very similar to what you just raised about problems in the church and how to view them, said that, you know, he said, after my faith, the thing that gives me most confidence is my knowledge of church history.
Hold that thought, Father. We're going into a break. I want to pick up on that. It's a very, very important point. More with Father Timothy Gallagher, his latest book, Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, The Wisdom and Spiritual Power of Venerable Bruno Lantieri. And you can find it both at AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com, our bookstores and religious catalog.
The format of the Eucharistic celebration in the Catholic Church has remained virtually the same for almost 2,000 years. Around 155 AD, St. Justin Martyr explained the Mass to the pagan emperor Antoninus Pius in this way. On the day of the sun, he told Pius, Christians gather in the same place. The memoirs of the apostles and the writings of the prophets are read. When the readings are finished, the presider admonishes and challenges those gathered to imitate the beautiful things just read. The homily is followed by prayers of petition for those gathered and for all others. The kiss is exchanged. Then the presider is presented with offerings of water and wine and the bread, over which he prays extensively. When the prayers are concluded, the deacons give to those present the consecrated bread and wine. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You need courage to stand up and be Christian, and stand up and be a real Catholic, not a divided Catholic.
Mother Angelica courageously evangelized the world. One of the first ways she evangelized was through small books full of powerful messages. You can have all of Mother's beloved mini books in one complete collection in The Spiritual Wisdom of Mother Angelica from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com.
Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement from our friend Father Timothy Gallagher, terrific author, spiritual director, wonderful priest, and just full of great advice. And this new book, really helpful, very practical, good advice, and just a reminder that we should never, ever, ever allow ourselves to give in to discouragement. We all have struggles, but we have to remember that the Lord is still on his throne, and he is always, always, always ready to welcome us home and forgive us as long as we have a contrite heart, whatever the situation. Father, you were telling a story regarding the discouragement that people are feeling with what's happening in the church and the world, and encouraging people to look at church history. So pick up with that point, because we had to take a break.
Yes, as the historian was saying, Father Monsignor Ellis, that after his faith, and I guess it's important to say that too, after his faith, that's the first thing. We have a solemn promise of Jesus to Peter in the gospel that the gates of hell are never going to prevail against this church. And we've seen through all the church's travails over the centuries, we've seen how faithfully God has kept that promise. He's not going to drop us this time either. The church is going to get safely through whatever struggle she's encountering at this time. That's the first and key thing, is faith that Jesus said it and he meant it. And it's true and real. But after that, as Monsignor Ellis, who knew church history so deeply, was saying in response to this kind of discouragement, He said, it's my knowledge of church history, just knowing what the church has been through. Think of a time, for example, during the Arian heresy in the early centuries when 80% of the bishops followed the heretical currents, all right? And the church got through it safely. Or an ecumenical council at Ephesus where there was even violent disagreements, not simply verbal, you know, but... So the church is at a time when there was a real pope and two others claiming to be pope, you know, in the Middle Ages and 14th century and so forth. So the church has been through things that I think you can easily, truly say are far worse than what we're facing right now, and she's gotten through them faithfully. She'll get through this as well.
And I also think, too, in terms of understanding the big picture, this is not to dismiss what's going on in the church or in the world, but this understanding of looking back and taking, let's say we zoom out, as I would say in TV, and look at the big picture, I think is really, really important, don't you?
It's very important, and it's very encouraging. Again, we just go right back to the same thing that the Lord is with this church. He founded it. He loved it. He's guided it safely. He's raised up saints, continues to raise up saints within it and wonderful people. One of the happiest things in my ministry, because I'm traveling constantly to speak to groups, is to meet so many good and wonderful people. Sometimes I think, remember when Abraham says to the Lord, well, if I can find even 20 and 10, you know, will you spare the city? I often think the Lord can find those people today, because there are many wonderful, faithful people. I'm sure among them are many people listening right now.
Yeah.
We'll get Very through true. It. We'll get through it.
Amen. 877-573-7825. Let's go to the phones. Ed calling from York, Pennsylvania. Good morning. What's your question or your comment for Father Gallagher this morning?
Ed.
Are you there?
Yes,
online too? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
I get hidden between the eyes with Psalm 51, particularly with my sin is always before me, and I'm struggling with taking care of my son, and my feeling is that I need to be sorry to God first so I can be truly sorry to my son for how I've treated him, and I get hung up with that. It's just really hard for me. So any words of wisdom, I would appreciate.
Sure. So you're struggling with forgiving yourself. I think that's a big part of the book and why the book, I think, Ed, you'll find very helpful. Father, any thoughts to help Ed right now?
Yes, well, it's very important there. I'll say it this way. Here is a young girl, let's say elementary school age, who has acted out, we'll say fairly seriously, done something quite seriously wrong. And the word has gotten back to her father. And she is walking up the sidewalk now toward the front door of her house, and she knows her father is inside. And she stands outside hesitating. She doesn't know how she's going to be received. She knows she's at fault. She opens the door, goes in, and there's her father. And he doesn't say a word. He simply approaches her, hugs her tightly, and says, I love you. Now she can tell him everything. Ed, that's the father you're approaching. That's the God you're approaching. I'd love to think you. I think if you read the book, Ed, I think you will find it helpful, because Venerable Bruno, as I said before, knows how to touch with great hope exactly that place in our heart that you're describing. I'm not good enough. I failed. I'd love to think you might read the book, because he'll say it better than I can. Mm-hmm. But that's the God you're approaching. Read Luke 15, Ed, and you'll see that it's the chapter in the gospel where joy is mentioned more than anywhere else, and it's all about forgiveness.
Yeah. And I think, too, I never forget a quote that I heard from a Protestant speaker, Joyce Meyer, who said that the devil will convince you that sinning is no big deal, and when you do sin, he will never let you forget it.
It's something that soon-to-be blessed Fulton Sheen said in very similar words, that before we sin, the devil is our friend, and afterwards our adversary.
Mm.
You know, and he said it's exactly the opposite with God, and that's what Machine continues that thought, that before we sin, God is the one who's standing in the way, so to speak, but after, God is fully there on our side, ready to forgive. All we have to do is turn to Him with sincere hearts.
Yeah. Hon, getting back to the situation in the church, which I hear an awful lot about when I speak, as you do on the road, and also being on an international radio show, how do we balance that? We know that the church, in terms of history, has seen many a storm and survived it and will survive it because it's Jesus' church, founded on the rock, St. Peter, with not seeming like we're dismissing it. Oh, you know, this is no big deal because it's all, you know, in God. God's got this, and we've got church history to back the fact, and Jesus promises a church will be with us, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As it says in Matthew 16, how do we balance that with the need to address serious situations in the church, a lack of leadership, problems with following church teaching and misinformation? So where's that balance, and how do we do that as good Catholics? Because we are all called to evangelize and to make a difference.
Well, some years ago when the Pope's document on marriage came out, and there was this kind of issue, you know, very much about the chapter 8 in that document.
Mm-hmm.
And, a spiritual director said something to me that I'd never forgotten. And he said, you know, we classically speak of custody of the eyes with regard to living purity. If you just don't let harmful images into your eyes, it all gets a lot easier. And he said, I think today we need a certain custody of the eyes in the digital world and the world of media. There is a certain kind of commentary on what's happening that is simply discouraging. And I think it might be better to fast from that rather than to fill ourselves with that. I would say watch what happens in your heart when you're absorbing certain kinds of commentary, let's say on social media, for example. And if you find that it leaves you discouraged and angry, you might suspect that there's a place where custody of the eyes would be helpful.
Mm.
Secondly, I would say, we need to remember our own limitations, too. God sees further than we do. You know, we don't see everything. We don't understand everything. And it's best, I think, not to set ourselves up as judge too quickly.
Yeah. And to do what we can in our own corner of the world to speak the truth in love, because we're all responsible for evangelization. Father, I would love to talk to you for a little bit longer, but we're out of time. The book is Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, and it's published by EWTN. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. The claim of the Christian faith is that God has revealed himself to us by appearing in the form of a man in a particular time and in a particular place. He permitted people to observe him, watch his behavior, see him under pressure, and ask him controversial questions. Seen God around lately? But there was a time when he was around. The Word became flesh, says John, and dwelt among us. This is an astounding claim that no other religion has ever made. No fuller revelation of deity seems to be possible than for God to come in person and let persons see what he is like. Surely this is better than mere writings or the testimony of a prophet, for this is the incarnation of God and the greatest evidence for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I think Father Gallagher made some great points in terms of giving ourselves a break and understanding that the truth does come to the surface, and that God does have this. It's all about the balance in terms of how much information we receive. And we also have to remember that, again, the truth is the truth and it does not change. We can learn more about a particular truth And when people start to see that truth, things can change. And so we go about and do the best that we can in our world, making a difference, using the platforms that we have and speaking the truth in love. And boy, we are having an impact. And Catherine Glenn Foster knows this, and she's talking this morning with us about a particular story, a pretty big one that was published over the weekend in the New York Times, of all places. Not exactly a publication friendly to the truth on the abortion issue, and certainly not favorable to our side of the story in terms of the truth of life and what happens to women and everyone touched by abortion. But they did a big story on how a divided left is losing the battle on abortion. Just that headline alone, Catherine, is something else. And Catherine, by the way, is a frequent guest on this program and many EWTN shows. She's president and CEO of Americans United for Life. Okay, so did you, like, drop your coffee when you saw the headline in the New York Times? My goodness.
I will say that that article made my Sunday. I saw it. I get news alerts. I follow all the major newspapers and everything, especially when it comes to this issue. And seeing this article in the New York Times, how a divided left is losing the battle on abortion, it was a good Sunday.
So what are they saying? What was the point of the piece?
Yeah, this piece was all about how even the pro-abortion side is dramatically divided. And it talked about the divisions between Planned Parenthood and all of the other abortion facilities out there, many of whom don't seem to have such friendly feelings all the time towards Planned Parenthood. Talking about the division between focus on abortion first and foremost versus a focus on women's health care more broadly, as some groups are starting to focus on, recognizing that for so many of us, abortion is not going to win the day. And so they're trying to expand their offerings in hopes that they may be able to sway the middle, to sway voters, to sway people who still hold at least to that idea from the 90s from Bill Clinton that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. Just the idea that there is more to women's health care than just one system of our bodies. And so there are so many divisions that we see there. It's talking about the ascendancy of life-affirming law, and especially what we've seen in the last 10 years or so, where we are seeing more life-affirming laws put into place than ever before, where the American public is recognizing that we don't have to choose when we're passing laws between women and children. We can protect both.
Yeah, and I think also some recent polling that you did, tell us about that the numbers are very, very revealing.
Absolutely. So we've done a couple polls in recent months. I'm going to share the first one first because it just was so telling to me after New York passed its Reproductive Health Act. And we saw, in this one-month period, a dramatic swing in the percentage of Americans who called themselves pro-life, just skyrocketing. We conducted a poll just a few days after that Reproductive Health Act passed into law, striking down all abortion restrictions in New York, legalizing abortion, late-term abortion, infanticide, striking down even protections for so-called wanted children in the womb. And we found out that 80% of Americans overall and two-thirds of even self-described pro-choice Americans oppose those late-term abortions. And they say, you know what, that is a bridge too far. Then we did another poll recently, and this is about that June Medical Services case is coming up before the Supreme Court, oral arguments to be heard in early March. And what we found out there is that a super majority of Americans supports the type of law that Louisiana passed. The laws that say that when an abortion goes wrong, and sometimes they do, when the woman is in serious danger, when she's been harmed, when she needs emergency care, that those abortion facilities, that abortion doctor needs to be able to ensure that she is smoothly transferred to the local hospital. So it's that emergency transfer agreement that we're talking about here to make sure that she gets that care that she needs and deserves to try to save her life in these emergency situations. A supermajority of Americans say absolutely stop treating abortion doctors differently, stop treating abortion facilities differently. Women need care.
And it's probably shocking to people when they hear that something so basic is not available in most freestanding abortion facilities.
Exactly. You know, you would think that in a facility that's performing this kind of surgery, this kind of outpatient surgery, that they would have these kinds of basic, care devices and tools and standards. And instead, we find that that's not the case, and that abortion distortion, as we call it, is all too real. And that's why these laws are necessary. We need to make sure that abortion facilities are held in the same standard. Abortion doctors, these doctors performing abortions, even late-term abortions, are held to the same standards so that women aren't placed in unknowing danger and that they aren't, you know, risking their lives even more just by walking through the doors of an abortion facility that they may not know has these unsanitary conditions. They may not know doesn't have an emergency transfer agreement for if something goes wrong.
Or admitting privileges, right? Admitting privileges,
exactly.
which is ridiculous if you think about it, because, for example, I just went through this past summer. It was really rough with my elderly mom. She had fallen a few times and had to go in and out of rehab. And every time she went to the hospital, the first thing they said was, who's her main physician? And they consulted with that doctor because he has a history of her care. Well, why wouldn't you want that same availability for any type of procedure, especially in an emergency situation with something as serious as an abortion? It makes absolutely no sense. But the bottom line is the bottom line, in the sense that many of these doctors, they roam around and they don't plant themselves in any particular area. They go from facility to facility, do the abortions, and then leave.
That's exactly right. We've seen doctors traveling facility to facility, state to state, even continent to continent, literally, and performing abortions and then getting out of town, you know, on the next flight before so many of these complications may even be known. We're seeing the devastating consequences. And in fact, you know, we've seen women lose their lives specifically because of the lack of admitting privileges or emergency transfer agreements, you know, where you'll have a non-medical staff member at the abortion facility transporting a woman in their own personal vehicle to an emergency room, dropping her off at the front door, just like, you know, if you got a scrape or something, and then the woman goes in, she may not even be able to articulate exactly what's going on with her. She may not know that, you know, that her uterus was perforated, that her bowel was perforated, and that, you know, she's in serious risk of hemorrhage, of sepsis, of all of these very, very serious complications. And yet she's just sitting there in the waiting room waiting for hours with no one treating her, no one knowing. And we've seen women literally lose their lives for that very reason. It is absolutely tragic. It is unnecessary. And that is why states like Louisiana are doing everything in their power to ensure that women do get the care that we need.
But the stories are getting out there, and that's what I think is key, in addition to the stories that are covered by networks like ours. But when you have the New York Times talking about losing the battle on abortion because of the division within, you know, the extreme left that are so off the charts in terms of what they want with abortion, what we saw in New York when they were dancing and cheering and singing when those laws passed earlier this year, people hear about that and they're shocked and they're realizing what abortion really is versus what the Planned Parenthoods of the world have told them. The other thing that I thought was really important about this story is that the understanding of, quote-unquote, the needs, how do I want to say this, of those who are running these abortion mills are much different than what Planned Parenthood is saying. Planned Parenthood is basically losing a lot of support because they're so political, and they're supposed to be all about health care, but they're really nothing more than a big political leftist machine.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And we saw that division again just a few months ago when we saw the now former president of Planned Parenthood, Dr. Leanna Wen, being forced out of that organization. She is a doctor, an accomplished doctor, supportive of abortion, so right in line with their philosophy. But she was forced out because she wanted to focus on the broader swath of healthcare services, all of the other things that Planned Parenthood does, and say, here are all of our services, and abortion is one of them. And Planned Parenthood said, no. You know, we're going to focus on abortion. Abortion is political. We're going to fight this battle in the policy arena. And Yeah, and they did not want it to be about health care. They wanted to de-emphasize the medical aspect of their organization, which is just so telling.
So what should we do with these stories when these come out? I mean, I think these are great things to share.
Absolutely.
Give people encouragement.
Absolutely. This needs to be shared far and wide. The fact that the New York Times is highlighting and amplifying this division on the left is amplifying the division within the pro-abortion movement and this activist, these activist organizations is it's dramatic. It is so telling that even the New York Times can no longer ignore this and is willing to print this in the Sunday edition and just share all of the problems that are going on right now within that movement. And then you look at the life movement, and you know, sure, we may have some different strategies, but we are all about saving lives. We are all about helping women, helping girls, saving lives, and you know, and that's something that I think all Americans can get behind.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just joining us on Catholic Connection, we're chatting with Catherine Glenn Foster. She's a regular guest on Catholic Connection and also other EWTM programs. Check out the great work of Americans United for Life. She is a president and CEO of America's first and largest pro-life legal organization. Catherine, the other thing that I think is really important is that these stories that are so gruesome and it seems so archaic in today's modern world and in the 21st century, when you see stories like, for example, the Colfer situation in Indiana and Illinois or the Gosnell situation in Philadelphia, I think these stories are starting to open people's eyes. They're getting out there.
Yes, and the really tragic thing is, you know, we had so many warnings. You know, everyone mm-hmm. knew. The National Abortion Federation knew. Planned Parenthood knew. Everyone knew what was going on in Gosnell.
Government officials knew, all the way up to the governor in Pennsylvania with Gosnell.
Yes, everyone knew what was going on, and they didn't do anything, whether they felt that they couldn't because, you know, they were focused on abortion, whether they thought that they couldn't because they were worried about getting sued. No one did anything, and they let these women and girls walk into these just grotesque conditions. I mean, disgusting, with, you know, cats roaming around and feces and urine and blood. And one of the things that I found most abhorrent was the fact that he had different waiting rooms depending on whether, you know, you were black or white. And he was just perpetrating, you know, pure racism. And this was all a part of his business model. And just knowing that everyone knew about that and did nothing. Everyone yeah. knew about so many of these different abortionists, and they're not alone. You know, there are so many other abortionists in our nation who are not that different. Some of them, you know, you could say maybe even just right along the same lines, even worse than these conditions. And that's something that we all need to fight back against, because it is absolutely disgusting. And again, that is what Louisiana is fighting back against.
Well, thank you for your great work reminding us of these stories and how the news is getting out there. Again, Catherine Glenn Foster is the president and CEO of Americans United for Life, and discussing this very recent big story in the Sunday edition of the New York Times, of all places, how a divided left is losing the battle on abortion. We need to keep putting it out there, keep preaching the truth in love, and keep letting people know about the smoke and mirrors of the abortion industry, especially when it comes to Planned Parenthood. Catherine, thanks so much. Where do we find you online?
Our website is AUL.org. We have information about June medical services, about all of the recent developments on life, and I would just encourage all of your listeners to find us there.
Thank you so much, and happy Advent to you. And we'll be right back on a Tuesday morning edition to let you know what's coming up tomorrow on a Wednesday edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation. They abuse science and religion. They abuse our history and our past. They abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net.
The EWTN home video highlight for December is the EWTN Family Christmas Special. The Choir of the Eternal Word Television Network performs classical Christmas carols with a special commentary by Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. Order your DVD or CD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Thanks so much for listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN, and for all the great resources and the books, including the one by our friend Father Gallagher, terrific book. Grab a copy, Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, published by EWTN. You can find it at our religious catalog and also at our Ave Maria Radio bookstore at AveMariaRadio.net. Coming up tomorrow, just in time for Advent, our friend Dr. Edward Shree, a new book, God With Us, and Joan Lewis, the big reveal of the Vatican Nativity scene is this week. She'll have the details coming up tomorrow. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.